Thank you for joining us for this message. Whether you're watching for the first time or simply catching up on a message you missed, we're so glad you're connected to God's Word today. Our hope is that as you listen to the message, you will experience a real encounter with God. Please consider giving financially to support God's work through our ministry. You will find several options to do that by clicking on the word give in the menu on our website at kentwoodcommunitychurch.com.
Well, good morning, KCC. For those who may be new, my name is Kyle. I have the privilege of serving as lead pastor here. And we just wrapped up a sermon series that we call Born as we walk through the Advent season. I enjoyed preaching during that series where we looked at the fact that we were born for a purpose. And next weekend, we're going to start a new sermon series. But this weekend, we've kind of got a standalone message, and I'm actually not the one that's going to be preaching it. Pastor Alicia Ocasio is bringing the word this weekend, and let me tell you a little bit about her. Okay, you can go ahead and clap and cheer now. And while you're doing that, I might as well go ahead and give greetings to our campuses. I want to give greetings to the Nagpur India campus and the young people watching at the Kent County Juvenile Detention Facility. Let them know we love them and appreciate them for tuning in as well. So for several years now, we've had a resident pastor program where young adults who have graduated from Bible colleges and since a call to ministry come and spend 2 years with us, devoting about 29 hours a week to ministry, learning and growing as pastors. And these are folks that feel like they have a call on their lives to be in pastoral ministry. And so Alicia is one of those residents. She started with us last October, so October of 2017, and she has been leading the young adult ministry in the life of the church, the 18 to 30-year-old ministry. She's a graduate of Grace Christian University, formerly known as Grace Bible College. She is the wife of Hector, the mother of Matthew. And recently, I was out at a young adult leadership dinner that she had pulled together. And the young adult leadership team was there, and she said, okay, you all, Pastor Kyle is here. Ask him any question you want to ask him. Nothing is off limits. So they each went around and asked questions, and I got some interesting questions. And then when it got around to Alicia, they said, so what's your question for him? And she said, well, Pastor Kyle, I want to know, why are you so passionate about pouring into young adults? And I said, well, that's an easy answer. I remember showing up here at Kentwood Community Church as a 26-year-old newlywed and a 40-something-year-old senior pastor was intentional about pouring into me. And so when I turned 40 a few years ago, I really felt a call from God that I needed to turn around and do the same thing. I needed to pour into that next generation. And so even though the 18 to 30-year-olds sometimes give me a hard time about my age, I'm 45, even though they pick on me and make jokes about it sometimes, I'm still going to let one of them preach this weekend. Would you give a warm welcome to Pastor Alicia Ocasio as she comes up to share?
Now, you never know what story he's going to share. So whenever he shares a story, I kind of just, whew, let me see what he's going to share. And it's like, okay, all right, that's a good one. That's a good one, yeah. So, like he said, my name is Alicia Ocasio, and I have the pleasure of serving here at KCC as the young adult resident pastor, and it's just been an awesome, awesome journey with these young adults. We've grown together spiritually, we hang out, we've built community, so it's just been an awesome ministry, and I can't wait to see what God is going to do in this coming year with the ministry, so it's been amazing. And I'm kind of disappointed because I like welcoming the campuses. So he took my job. I want to say welcome to Nagpur. Say welcome to the young people at the Juvenile Detention Center. All right, let's start the sermon with some prayer. God, we thank you for this time. We thank you for everything, Lord, that you have provided for us today and every day. And God, I just ask you to put your hand over this sermon, Lord. And as I always ask you, Lord, make me very small and lift your name high. Give me the words that I have to say today, God. May they be your words and not mine, Lord. And give us a heart to listen today. Give us a heart to listen and to do what you're calling us to do. And God, I just thank you and I ask you this in your name we pray. Amen. So something that I was thinking about during my prep was like, I have a question. I'm like, man, what do we do with the red letters or the words that Jesus says in the word? which are the red letters. When I go through the Bible, I open it, I always look at those red letters in the New Testament, and I'm like, okay, well, the word, we're supposed to be following the whole word, but these red letters, like, what do I do? What do I do with these red letters? So, moving on, the title for today's sermon is Built to Last. And we're going to be in Matthew 7, verses 24 to 27. You can open it up on your iPhone or phone, or on your, if you have the Bible with you, you can open it that way as well. Otherwise, the words would be here on the screen as well. And the word goes this way. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it fell with a great crash. So today I'm going to teach you how to live with Christ as the foundation of your life. So we know here in this text that what's going on is that Jesus is going around and he's proclaiming the good news of the kingdom. He's just going and he's getting followers. And what happens when you have all this news and you're performing miracles and you're doing all these things like casting out demons? You begin to get followers, right? You get this, you become this influence. So that's what was going on with Jesus. He had crowds following him from Decapolis, from Judea, from all these places because they seen him and they liked what he was doing and they followed him. So do we have any teachers in the midst today? And if you are a teacher, please raise your hand. All right, woo! We do have a lot of teachers today. So obviously not all of us are teachers, but we have all been in the classroom. So I want you guys to imagine that you are in a kindergarten classroom and that you are the teacher, you are the instructor, and you have this carpet, and the kids are sitting around the carpet, and they're just looking at you, and they're waiting on your instruction. They're just like, okay, teacher, what's next? What's next? What's next? That's what was happening here. Jesus was not at Kenwood Public Schools. He wasn't at Wyoming Public Schools. He wasn't at a school in Nagpur, India. He was on a mountain, the Lake of Gennesaret. That's where he was. And he's basically teaching them, and they're looking up, and they're looking for that instruction. So he's delivering this sermon, and it's a life-changing sermon. It contained instructions on some serious topics like loving your neighbor and warning on false prophets. Just some great, great, great topics. And you know what, church? As a matter of fact, I am convinced that as a result of the disobedience that we have in our part to this sermon, we're dealing with some tough, real stuff. Things like war, evil, deception, revenge, hate crimes, false teachers. When I think of war, I think about the one in Syria, the civil war. The president is now just pulling out the more than, I think it's 2,000 troops that he's pulling out now. And all the refugees that came from that war. Or even I think about hate crimes. Did you know that in 2017, more than 8,000 hate crimes were reported? And when I think about false teachers, I think about people just saying stuff to you and you believing it because of our lack of knowledge. We believe things sometimes because of our lack of knowledge of the word. Those are just some really tough topics that we deal with on a daily basis. So, church, throughout this message, there's going to be an illustration. Somebody is going to be building something to my left side. Now, it's just as a form of a visual for everybody, but it's for the kids as well. So, parents, you could thank me later because your kids will be entertained for maybe half of the message. You could thank me later. I do have some instructions here. When the kids came in, when you guys came in, you should have gotten a construction hat. Who has their construction hat? Okay, good. All right, so the instructions are, we can get the special guest that's going to come out and build if the kids have their construction hats on. And if at the count of three, you say build. So I'm going to give you a moment to put your construction hats on. And then I'm going to count to three. I'm going to say build, and then the special guest is going to come out. Cool. I see him on. One, two, three. I think something's going on. I don't know if he's going to come out or not. One, two, three. I don't know. Let's try this. Oh, there he goes. All right. So when I think about building something, guys, it gets personal with me. Like, when I'm going to build something, I need instructions. I need, like, full gear. Like, I'm not going to mess my clothes up. Nope, that's not going to happen. So I need, like, goggles. Like, I get fully equipped. But the issue when I build something is that by the time I get all my gear on, sometimes the project is half done. So my husband's like, why you take so long to get the, you know, to get ready? I said, you know, I have to get ready. But it's not bad because by the time I start, you know, is when the real work starts happening. You know, I get the measurements done. You know, we did the flooring project last year, and I came out, everything was like good. So don't feel too bad about me yet. Let's dive into verse 24. It says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. So we see here that Jesus is essentially using an illustration of building a home. He's really honing in on building on a rock. So Jesus is not only calling us to build something, he's calling us to build on something. So there are many examples of what the world calls us to do, the word of God calls us to do. We are to take care of the orphans. We are to take care of the widows. We are to love our neighbors. We are to love our enemies. But then there's this call to build, and it's like, woo, really, really, really tough. So when we think about building, there's two groups. We got the group of people who actually buy the land, and you get them on Facebook, and they got like a selfie with the shovel, and you're like, wow, they got some land. We'll check their Facebook in about a year when it's built. And then we have the other people who are actually people building the place. So you got contractors, you've got architects, you've got all these people that are together to be able to build this home. So we're both in two different areas. But when I think about it, I'm like, okay, God, you can call me to love someone, and I could love someone and build a relationship with that person. You could call me to love my neighbor, and I will bake some cookies, and I'm not a baker. I can cook some Puerto Rican food, though. Yo sé cocinar, para lo que hablan español. But baking is just, it might be some burnt cookies I'm giving to my neighbor, but it's not about the product. It's about the love that you pour into others, right? Am I right or wrong? So you might be saying, Alicia, okay, you got to get out of this building stuff because it's really not what the text is about. And you're right. This text is about building your life. It's about building your life on the right foundation. So Jesus was stressing how important it was then. And I want to do that today. I want to stress how important it is to build your foundation on Christ. Because church, it's time to take a hold of our lives and make a shift. It's time to take a hold of our lives and make a shift. And how do we do that? By listening to God and doing what he wants us to do. He was teaching wisdom to the crowd, and that's what I'm teaching you guys today, wisdom. There are a few verses here in James 1, 22 to 25. They're not going to be on the screen, so if you just want to listen in. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard but doing it, will be blessed in what they do. And so, church, that is to say, people who are wise listen to God's command and apply them to their lives. And here's the kids' point for this morning. Kids who are wise follow God's instruction. So I'm going to give you guys an insight on my personal life, on my personal call to ministry. I was born and raised in Chicago, and if thought you guys were going to clap. It's in Chicago. Hey, no. I was born and raised in Chicago. Yeah. Oh, any Chicagoans? No? Okay. It's all good. I was born and raised in Chicago, and fast forward 24 years, 24 years old, had been married for 5 years, and I was a service manager at a car dealership in Chicago, and I remember just hearing the call from God, like, you have a ministry, and it's in Michigan, and I just felt like, what? Like, I am not going to do ministry. Like, ministry is not for me, but that's what God commanded me to do. So I put my 30-day notice. My husband and I, my son, we moved to Michigan and we started ministry. We had ministry in our house for about 2 years. We did a community ministry. I began college at Grace Bible College, what was Grace Bible College back then, now called Grace University. And then I came to KCC and here I am. But I'm telling you that story because when God commands you to do something, you just do it. God commands you to do something, you just do it. Because the moment that I decided to do that, the moment I decided to trust God, was the moment that I began to walk in wisdom. Verse 25 says, the rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. So this verse is essentially saying that anything on a solid foundation is able to weather the storm. It talks about rain. So it doesn't matter if rain comes down on the house. Christ is with you. It talks about streams rose. It doesn't matter what streams rise. Christ is with you. It talks about winds blowing. It doesn't matter what winds come and try to knock you down. Christ is with you. Church, listen to me carefully. There is no other foundation that is stable other than the one on Jesus. Jesus has promised us eternal life, but we must remain in him. We have to make sure that he is our foundation. Which brings me to this next point. People who are wise know how to build on a reliable foundation. Kids who are wise build on the foundation of God. So here are some foundations that unfortunately our society have built on worldly foundations. Money, comfort, acceptance. It's like the idea that like nothing else matters. It's only money, 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 money. That song by the OJs that says money, money, money. You guys know that? Hey, that's right there. You got it right there. Who hit that note? Who? I heard somebody hit that note. It had to be Pascal. Or comfort, like, okay, I'm so comfortable that I am not gonna change anything I do. I have my ways, these are set, I am not changing. Or acceptance, you know what, I'll do anything. I'll even change the word of God just to be accepted. There will always be some instability with worldly foundations. Today it might be acceptance, tomorrow might be something else. So my goal today is for you to stretch your mind and to think about your spiritual foundation. The thing about worldly foundations is that there are no promises attached to them. There is no meaning attached to worldly foundations. But a foundation in Jesus Christ, that's something totally different. The promises that are attached to worldly foundations are catastrophe, want, dishonesty, destruction, division. Those are all things that come from a worldly foundation. So when I was young, I mean, I'm younger, I'm 29, so sorry for you 29-year-olds who I just said I was young, I'm sorry. When I was younger, and I wanted to go out somewhere. This is for all of you guys on the youth over here. I feel you. I had to ask for permission from my dad. Oh, somebody said, to get the youth to talk. That's right. I'm standing right over here. So when I was younger and I wanted permission, I would say, you know, I'd tell my dad, hey, I want to go out. He'd say, okay, there's two responses. If he starts asking questions, that's the first response. Then I'm like, okay, I start getting dressed. You know, I start calling my friends and stuff, get the car ready. I don't put my shoes on yet because my faith wasn't as strong as now. And then the other thing is I said no, period. Now, I didn't like that second response because when they say I said no, period, let me tell you something, guys. Take your shoes off, get your pajamas on, put Netflix, whatever, and just chill. And love on them because they really want you just to be home. Right, parents? Right? Okay. So I'm saying this because, church, Jesus will never give in to what we believe in, period. We have to give in to him, period. A lot of us think that he will bend his belief to ours, but that will never happen, period. If we want a firm foundation that we can build on, the answer is Jesus, period. It doesn't matter what the new things that are going on in the culture these days are, Jesus is the same and will always be the same, period. He has made us new through his Holy Spirit. We don't make him new, period. Jesus will never change who he is and what he stands for the culture that we are, period. We can start some new Christian norms and expect them to get on board. We can't start. I didn't say can. We can't start some Christian norms and expect them to get on board, period. And church, I'm convinced that the moment we realize that Jesus will never change for us will be the moment that our perspective will change, period. It doesn't matter, church. It doesn't matter if we have signs, you know, and we're picketing or whatever, or protesting about whatever change we want to do and whatever the word says, how we want to change things. That doesn't matter because Jesus is not going to change for us. We have to understand that Jesus is not going to change for us. It doesn't matter how many signs we put up. He will not change for us. We have to change for him. Church, it doesn't matter what life bring at you or has brought at you in 2018. As you go out in 2019, be on the lookout. Be on the lookout for God to pour wisdom into you. Be on the lookout for the Holy Spirit to move in magnificent ways. Verse 26 says, "But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand." But everyone who hears the words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. So Jesus is commanding, hey, you know what? Don't just hear my word. Do something about it. Don't build on these foolish things that the world teaches you. Build on me. I'm your foundation. Build on me. I'm your foundation. And if you think about it, if a house is built on sand, you're guaranteed to see, like, after a while, you see cracks in the foundation. Sometimes, even when you're building it, you get to a level, and then you're like, oh, man, something is wrong with the foundation because you see cracks early on. And a lot of builders, that's, like, the one thing that is not good. If they see a crack there, they're just like, uh-oh. They call in a structural engineer, and sometimes the structural engineer is like, I can't even do anything about this. Those are some scary words. So when Jesus is talking about this, he's essentially talking about that, building on sand. And even if you look up, if you go on Google and you look up the Leaning Tower of Pisa, same thing. They don't even know, the builders don't even know when it's going to actually fall down, but it's leaning. They've fixed some stuff before, but when your foundation is built on sand, you can't just restructure it and for it to come straight. Like, it's eventually going to come down. This is what Jesus is saying in this. And even if you look at the example, like, if you've been on the Ray family's Facebook page, they built this gingerbread house. Like, it is not on the right foundation. I'm sorry, guys. In the picture, it looked like it was falling, and it had just been built. It had just been built. Because there's no other foundation other than Christ that's going to guarantee you 100% stability. You know, I'm saying it to you now, and it's like, that's what he said to them then. And I think for us, it's hard in this culture to be able to build on Jesus at times because we have so many distractions that come our way and they keep us away from building and listening and hearing and taking action on his commands. Which brings me to this next point. People who are foolish hear God's command but choose to disobey them. Kids who are foolish know the instructions and still don't obey them. So let's have some more real talk. There's some recent trends that have been shaping society. Some of us care, like, we don't care about being the light in the midst of the darkness. Some of us do, some of us don't. Matthew 5:16 says, "In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." What about personal opinions compared to biblical truths? Some of us are like, well, you know, I have this opinion, and you start living life based on that opinion, but really don't care about biblical truths. It's not good. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, "All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness." What about social media? Some of us care about what other people think more than what God thinks about us. Or screen time. Being on the phone or being on electronics, like basically almost most of your day, and not even setting 5 minutes apart for the Lord. So what I'm essentially saying is that these distractions are keeping us away from listening to God and doing what he is commanding us to do. Verse 27 says, "The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash." It fell with a great crash. So this verse is speaking on a foundation, building on a foundation that is not firm. The reality is that if we don't build our foundation, if our foundation is not in Jesus, we are choosing to destroy our future, our children's future, generations to come. Or if we build our foundation on Jesus, then we are choosing to build a good future for our families, you know, generations to come, family, family, family. So it's important. So with that said, the end result of foolishness is disaster. Bad things will happen when we don't follow God's instruction. That's the kid's point. So there are some foundations, church, that are meant to lead us to disaster. We just have to be aware. And we can't imitate a firm foundation. And we don't have to. Why would we have to? We have Jesus. We don't have to imitate a firm foundation. We got it right and we got it real. And the most important thing about the foundation is making sure that it is built to last. Building on a foundation, making sure that it is built to last. You know, as I was preparing this message, I questioned myself about it because I'm like, okay, well, this is an easy passage. Of course, I got my foundation in Jesus because I wouldn't be preaching, right? Mm-hmm. So then I'm like, wait, like there's some stuff I got to reassess. And so if you're feeling like that right now, like I've been Christian all my life. I was born in church. Obviously, I have my foundation in Christ. I don't resonate with her. I want you to take a moment and just reassess, you know, reassess your life, kind of like, man, what foundation have I built on and all that kind of stuff, and just kind of think about it, and that's what I had to do within this time, and I found some stuff that I had to change. So given these points, we have to remember, wise people listen to God's command and apply them to their lives. And church, when we begin to trust God is the moment that we begin to walk in wisdom. Also remembering that there are many things we choose to build upon in the world, but the only true foundation is Jesus. Also knowing that foolish people hear God's command but choose to disobey them. Then finally, the end result of foolishness is disaster. I'm going to end with this. Church, we need to keep in mind that we have the choice whether or not to have Jesus as our foundation. And the choice is ours. But if we choose him, we're choosing reliability. Let's pray. God, we thank you for this time. We thank you for everything, Lord, that you have provided for us today, God. We thank you for this message, Lord. Thank you for speaking to our hearts today. And so, God, we just ask you just to help us live out how you want us to live, God. Help us have you as our foundation. There is no other foundation, Lord, that is reliable like yours is. Lord, and I just thank you. Amen.